A growing number of classrooms in China are equipped with artificial intelligence cameras and brainwave trackers. We take you inside one.
So depending on how attentive you are, it displays different colors. Like red stands for being really focused and blue means you're inattentive.
And as concerns about vaping grow, the market for illicit products is flourishing online.
The problem here is that when you have a product out there being sold online, you don't really know what's in it or where it comes from.
Plus, Mark Zuckerberg takes a trip to the White House. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at the AI technology in China's classrooms and what it means for the future of education, here's what you missed. In yesterday's afternoon show, we looked at the growing number of vaping-related illnesses, over 500 now, and a new federal probe into the supply chain. Now, this morning, we've got an exclusive report. We found that even as concerns about the health hazards of vaping grow, there's a robust market for illicit vape products online. Here's Daniela Hernandez with more.
So I was able to find examples of these things on Amazon, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on LinkedIn. So the products that are on there, they really have a range. They're empty cartridges, the things that you would go in a vape pen or a vaporizer, as well as filled cartridges themselves. And so the problem here is that when you have a product out there being sold online, you don't really know what's in it or where it comes from. And so there's concern among medical professionals that when kids or adults are buying these products that they're then inhaling potentially really toxic, really dangerous substances.
So why are these products allowed to persist on the internet? Here's Daniela again.
It's a numbers game. And so tech companies are doing their best, they say, to police the content, to take it down as fast as possible. But it's just as easy and fast to upload something new. And so this is a cliche, but it's been described as a whack-a-mole game.
We should add here that the Centers for Disease Control have warned against buying such products. All of the tech companies on whose platforms we found the products told us their guidelines prohibit buying or selling drugs on their platforms. You can read the full article up on our website. And we've conducted a new analysis of the types of high-dose opioid pills that were sold at the height of the crisis. And we found that even though Purdue Pharma made up only 10% of the pills sold during the period, it's from 2006 to 2012, when you take into account the dosage of the pills, they sold more than a quarter. Here's Joe Walker with the explanation.
Oxycontin is a extended-release form of oxycodone, a opiate painkiller. And so a big part of Purdue's marketing strategy was, you know, these pills will last for 12 hours as opposed to 4 hours. And so the company had several different dosage strength formulations from 10 up to, during the period we looked at, 80 milligrams. And so, you know, what they would say to doctors is, we have all these variety of strengths, and that helps you to give your patient the right dose that's just right for them. But for a while, those very high-dose pills were also very popular on the black market.
What did Purdue have to say about our report? Here's Joe again.
Purdue took issue with only looking at oxycodone and suggested that that made their market share look bigger than it really was. Purdue was aware that the higher dose pills were more prone to abuse and diversion, and I think to their credit, used that information to flag suspicious orders and the like.
Just a reminder, Purdue filed for bankruptcy this week as part of a broader deal with some of the states and thousands of cities that are suing the company over its role in the opioid crisis. And Mark Zuckerberg went to Washington yesterday. At the White House, he met with President Trump, Jared Kushner, and the White House's social media director. The president later tweeted a photo and said it was a nice meeting. But Zuckerberg received a chillier reception on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers there grilled him on Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram. A Facebook spokesperson said that he went to Washington to, quote, hear their concerns and talk about future internet regulation. The trip comes as Facebook is facing a federal antitrust probe. Now, Now, our main story this morning, and this one really does sound like something from a science fiction movie. We were given exclusive access into one of a growing number of classrooms in China that are using artificial intelligence and brainwave trackers. To find out more, I rang up Crystal Tai in Hong Kong. So, Crystal, tell me more about what you saw when you visited these classrooms.
So, we went to the school near Shanghai, and the school started in a really interesting way. So these kids put on a brainwave sensing headband on. Which is supposed to record the brainwave activity of its user. And so depending on how attentive you are, it displays different colors. Like red stands for being really focused and blue means you're inattentive. What's really interesting is that some teachers can know about this neural data in real time. So even when students were doing some math problems, they can call out the students who are not paying attention on the spot.
Oh my God, that's my nightmare.
Back to focus. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have this kind of thing when I was a kid.
No, so definitely not. So, I mean, how do kids today react to that technology? I would have been a terrible user of this, but how did the kids that you saw react?
I asked them how they feel about wearing them, and they say that they had a hard time adapting to this device on their heads because they felt like, oh, it was a extra pressure around their head, and they didn't know how to adjust it properly. And it seems that whether they like it or not really depends on what type of students they are. So the model students that I talked to, they had always been getting good grades, and wearing these headbands just give them the kind of acknowledgement that they're the attentive students. When the headbands show that they have the red light, that they're really attentive. And they were quite the advocates of these headbands. But then I also talked to some students who struggle with being more attentive in the class. And there seems to have this extra pressure when the parents now essentially have this report in their hand every week that they can see how good their students are doing in the class in terms of attention. And these students who didn't do so well, they seem to feel that this is like some device that gives them the extra pressure.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, do all parents like the technology?
Well, surprisingly, actually, most of the parents we talked to, they really like this tag. And the reason being is that in China, a lot of parents, they seem to be really grade obsessed. And when the school started introducing this tag to them, they say that this is the kind of device that your kids have to wear because their grades go up, their concentration level goes up, and they study better. So if they wear these headbands, it means that their grades will improve. And the parents buy it.
I mean, will their grades improve if they wear these headbands? How tested is this technology?
We spoke to a neuroscientist, and he was quite shocked to find out that this tech is being used on children in the classroom. It's usually used in hospitals and labs.
I mean, are there any privacy concerns with this technology, with this data that's being gathered about quite young children?
Right. So these are really small children. So in this particular case, we asked the school, and they say that the data is used for improving the students' attention spans and for teachers to improve their lesson plans only. And the data shouldn't be disclosed to third party. But then some other companies that we talked to, it seems that they have this general awareness that this data is important, but not much is being used to protect them.
You can watch Crystal's truly eye-opening video from inside those classrooms up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to focus on one company whose shares have been on a wild ride this week, FedEx. The company's shares plummeted after FedEx reported disappointing earnings and a weaker-than-expected outlook. And it's that outlook that investors are really paying attention to. Here's Anna Isaac with more.
Yeah, so it's been a rough ride for FedEx's share price this week. But what's more important for the wider investor community is that transport and logistics companies like FedEx can be an important bellwether of where we're at in the business cycle. So it comes down to what's called the Dow theory, which is this idea that those logistics firms, those firms transporting goods, can give us a sense of things like consumer demand, whether or not consumption has peaked, that sort of thing. So economists and investors pay close attention to them. FedEx being one of the more major ones, obviously, means that it's especially important when we're looking at that idea. There's also signs that, you know, the chief executive said that he felt that the trade tensions with China had also weighed on their performance as a company and things like that. And so the reason we're paying such close attention to it is it's that sign as to whether or not these trade tensions might be spilling out into the wider economy, but also whether or not this augurs this whole transport sector as a whole falling into something close to recession, so shrinking, and therefore warning us that, you know, it might be slower growth from here on in.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Gunmaker Colt said it would stop producing semi-automatic rifles for civilians. The company cited a glut in the market. It said it would continue to manufacture the AR-15 rifles for military and law enforcement agencies. AR-15 style rifles have been used in some of the country's most deadly mass shootings, including those in Las Vegas and Parkland. And a new study has found that the bird population in North America is plunging. Since 1970, the total population of birds has dropped by 29%. Here's a scary stat for you. There are about 3 billion fewer birds now than nearly 50 years ago. While the reasons for the decline are hard to pinpoint, generally speaking, researchers attribute it to the broader impact of climate change, deforestation, and shifts in agricultural practices. Finally, it's Friday, so you might be tired, I know I am, and tempted to squeeze in a nap at work. If you're in Japan, you're in luck. Companies there, like Mitsubishi, are beginning to set aside dedicated sleep rooms. The only problem? Japanese workers are refusing to take the bait. They're worried they'll be seen as slacking off if they schedule a nap. That's why some corporate leaders are trying to take to the rooms to encourage employees to get some rest. That's something we also hope that you'll get this weekend. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.